Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts. I'd like you to look with me in the 13th chapter, Acts Amen. Chapter 13. On each of the banners to either side of me, reference the verse that I'd like to speak to you from tonight. And we'll be in Acts Chapter 13. I'll read several verses in your hearing. I was looking for a switch to turn on the microphone. There was a button to press. You cannot switch a button. You actually have to press a button and switch a switch. But it's the first day with my new hands. Just bear with me. Acts chapter 13, if you would please follow along as I read. In verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now, in the what we call the apostolic, that is the age when the apostles lived, when they worked. In that age, we had apostles. Since Scripture is complete, we don't have apostles today. Right. Why? Because God gave us His Word. That was the distinguishing mark, if you will. When the Word of God was complete, we did away with the sign gifts as well as the apostolic office. So if somebody today says they're an apostle, they're very, very old. Because an apostle had to see Christ after His resurrection. And they're also a liar, but you could just go with old. We don't have apostles today. Do we have teachers today? Oh, sure. Thank God for our teachers. People who can take complicated stuff and make it easy. Praise the Lord for them. Amen. And that's not just in the pulpit. That's in the classroom. That's Amen. Every aspect of life. Amen. Every mom, every dad is a teacher. But thank God for the gifted teachers in our churches that help bring us closer to Christ. Amen. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now we're going to get five names here. Barnabas. Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Amen. I'd love to read verse 4 to you, even though it kind of starts another section. But we just read that the church laid hands on them, and the church sent the missionaries away. Right. But please note the next verse. Without any mistake and without any doubt, there is no contradiction between 3 and 4. Amen. Notice what 4 says. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Oh, you say, well, the church sent them. Uh-huh. The Holy Ghost sent them. Uh-huh. Which is so. Uh-huh. They're both so. You remember the conversation in Scripture started, the narrative started with the Holy Ghost spoke. Does the Holy Ghost speak today? Oh, I believe He does. He dwells inside of us. And guess what? He has given us His Word. So God does speak to us today. Now, if you say to me that, you know, you woke up at 2 a.m. and you had this vision and God spoke to you, I really want you to consider what you eat before you go to bed. Now, if you said to me, God said this to me through His Word, and what you're telling me, it does not contradict God's Word, I have a lot more confidence in what He wrote for us to grab a hold to Amen. Than some nighttime vision that you may have had. And you say, well, you know, I feel differently. That's okay. Everybody's entitled to feel their own way, but only God is right.
Amen.
And God's Word is quite clear on these things. So it started in a church. And the church was in a town called Antioch. And the church had an active membership. This active membership was designed to say, let's reach our community. It wasn't just one or two guys that were active in the church There were five men that were active in this church. So you say, well, what makes a mission? What does a missions church look like? Well, as I look in verse number 1 and 2 and 3, I notice some characteristics. This is by way of introduction. I'll give you four characteristics of a missions-hearted church, but that's not really what I'm preaching. Now, see, if I can give you four introductory points, then it doesn't seem like I'm preaching two messages that have three other points, or in other words, 7 points. So I'm just going to tell you four now, and then I'm going to tell you the introduction's over. Then I'm going to give you three, and when we're done, we have 7. Are you confused? Don't be. Just write stuff down. Here's how you can tell a missions-hearted church. Number one, you have people who are attending. What does it mean to attend? They're here. It is so hard to be active in the Lord's work if you're not in the Lord's house. And here they are. God is going to work through the church at Antioch. And as He works through this church, He's going to work with the people who are working in this church. They are present. This is so vital. Church is essential. Amen. Whether any government leader accedes to that or not, church is essential. I need it. God started it. God loves the church so much He paid for it. I think He should determine when we meet and when we don't. Now, I recognize there are lawful authorities, and I'm not trying to get into something that's not my thing, because politics isn't my thing. But I can tell you this. When we realize that man is trying to control God, we also realize God is greater than man. Amen. And man can say whatever he wants to say, but God gave His final authority, preserved it in heaven for us, and elevated His word above His name. So as we recognize where we are, we have to realize that if God is working, He's working in the church. And how do we know a missions-centric church? Well, that's where we see people attending. Here's the second thing of the first 4 points I want to give you. We see people who are ministering. They're serving. Notice what we have. Prophets, men who speak for God. Teachers, men who teach about God. So when we're looking at churches, you say, where are the missions-hearted churches? Where are the mission-centric churches? Well, as I look at Acts chapter 13 and look at the church at Antioch and realize what God is going to do here and sending out missionaries around the world, this church, what they're doing, has a direct result of this church capital being right here. They are going to send out missionaries who are going to go into Europe, and the gospel will spread across Europe. And when it spreads across Europe, it will leave Europe's western shores and come here. And we will have the gospel, and it will come south, and we will see the gospel spread. Why? All because this church was a mission-centric church. I guess my real question for you today is, what if God still wanted to use His church? You say, well, what kind of question is that? Well, does He? And if He does, and since He does, what are we doing? How are we acting? Are we attending? Are we ministering? Number three, look at this. They are looking to God. How do I know that? Notice in verse number 3, it talks about they are praying. Now, this is interesting to me. When you get an attending, ministering, praying church, what happens? Well, you'll start to hear from God. Because what does it say? The Holy Ghost spoke. Amen. He said stuff. You say, Brother O'Malley, do you believe God speaks today? Absolutely. If you're holding a copy of the Bible and you're holding God's Word in your hand, then I believe God speaks. He's preserved His Word for us. Amen. We are blessed to have His Word. And God still speaks to us today. Now, what I want you to realize, not only are they looking to God, number four of my list, they're listening to God. How do I know that? Because they're hearing what the Holy Spirit had to say. Amen. Now, lest you get confused with modern thinking, there is no special word of knowledge. You know, someone might stand on some charismatic television station. I think Brother Kenny mentioned 17% of Pentecostalism in Ghana, Brother Jeremy. Is that right, 17?
71%.
Okay, but did you say, didn't you mention a high rate of Pentecostalism? 28%. Sorry, it's your own presentation. I'm just trying to remember it. That's all right. She's always right. Pentecostalism, 28%. That means a significant number, almost a third of the people are caught up in something that would teach emotionalism,
right.
Would teach that you can have your own word of knowledge from God. And they'll stand and say, God told me to say this. God already told what he wants to say, and it's recorded in his word. But I believe these folks were so intent on hearing from God and attending church, ministering in church, looking to God in prayer and listening to God, they were able to hear God when he spoke.
Right.
You say, well, what are you driving at? I wonder how many times in our services God's spoken and we're not looking and listening. Their time was spent looking to God and listening to God.
Amen.
When we look and listen, what will we hear? We might just hear what God wants us to do. With all of the distractions which exist in this world, it's amazing we can even hear a small thing from God, no less a life-changing thing from God. You come into church and you're busy with all of your day, and I fully respect that. Many of you work very hard at your jobs, and then you still come here. You set aside time to be in the house of God, to be here. Maybe you'll even go home and eat supper yet tonight, just because you rushed to get here. I am so grateful that you are here. But when we come, maybe if we could set aside the distractions that we have and simply focus on what is it that God has for me today. You say, well, God won't have anything for me. All God needs is my money. He doesn't need me. No, God wants all of you.
Amen.
Brother Jeremy, when he spoke of going to his niece's funeral, I was with you. Didn't you wander back up to first class and you looked out the window there and you were trying to discern what it was that God wanted you to do? Your heart was overwhelmed. You were trying to find, what does God want me to do? You say, well, that's good. He's supposed to be that. No, every single one of us ought to be seeking God.
Amen.
And that's what I was watching this banner here on the side, and I was reading that over and over again yesterday during the service, and again on the brochure, on the booklet, and again this morning in chapel, and I kept reading those words, for the work whereunto I have called them, for the work whereunto I have called them. And I said, what if God still wants to call people today?
Amen. That's right.
So he'd never call me. I imagine these who are listed here, of these five, I imagine they just were content to serve God with what they were doing. But when you get active in attending and ministering and looking to God and listening to God, you might find out God wants you too.
Amen.
Say, could you just go back to the money? Because it's going to be cheaper with money than if you're talking about my life. You mean to change my course of direction? To change what I've planned with my life? But what if you were listening? So, oh, I'm so scared of listening. What if God tells me I'm supposed to go across the street? Then go! It'll be the greatest experience of your life.
Amen.
Brother Kenny, when you were pondering Ghana and going back over and serving God there, it was a lot of work to get there. And I know there have been many days that were not easy. But you can face days that are not easy when you know you're in God's will. You know you are where you're supposed to be. So what if Capital Baptist Church adopted this and said, we will attend, we will minister, we will look to God, and we will listen to God. And whatever God calls us to do, we're all in. You say, Brother O'Malley, that's pretty scary. For some of you, it might be. For others of you, you're just itching to say, if God would just nod, I would go.
Amen.
If God would just point in a general direction, I would go. And I praise the Lord for both. I want you to know that missions is more than just money. Missions is about the very heart of God. And the reason we're involved in missions is because of love. And that's to which we referred last night. You remember, we talked about this, that love is what makes me give. And love is what makes me see. And love helps me to decide what I'm going to do. And love makes me check my heart. And love makes me take action. But tonight, what if we looked at this thing and we said, what could happen in this church if we were like Antioch?
Amen.
What would you have to know? I think there are three things you need to know. See, we've transitioned from the first sermon of 4 points. Now we're already halfway through. We're in our second sermon of 3 points. Number one, the first thing I think you would need to know, if God reproduced Antioch right here, what are the things that the membership of this church ought to know? Number one. Now, every point starts with the word God. Okay? Number one, God can use me. You say, well, of course, you're John O'Malley. You're the preacher. He's supposed to use you. No. Say it aloud with me so you hear yourself say it. God can use
me. Amen.
Well, that was just you and me, buddy. I want to hear them. So you're going to have to be louder than him. God
can use me.
You say, I don't know if God can use me. I got issues. I got baggage. I got a past. I'm not real churchy. I'm broken. I'm busted up. Nobody knows the hang-ups I have. Nobody knows the complications through which I've been in my life. Nobody knows my past. And I certainly don't want them to find out. And you just made me say God can use me?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I did. Verse 1. There were certain teachers, prophets and teachers as Barnabas. Well, there was a guy, God used his money. God used his encouragement. God used his strength to help people. God used him to be an encouragement to Paul. Simeon, that was called Niger, we don't know a lot about him. His name seems to indicate that perhaps he was a dark-skinned man. Lucius of Cyrene, which we know very little about, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So there was a guy with some connection to royalty. These are fellows from all over the place. And then the last guy, remember him? Saul?
Amen.
You want to talk about a messed up past?
Amen.
You want to talk about somebody who's got a lot of issues and baggage?
Right.
Everywhere he went, he had to realize the very people he was trying to evangelize, he was now part of the group that he used to persecute.
Right.
And he used to serve their needs. He murdered people.
Right.
Had Christians killed.
Right.
Well, I could never do anything for God.
Right.
You could.
Praise the Lord.
You just said it a second ago. Say it again, would you? God
can use me. Amen.
Hey, Saul, you think you could be used by God? I don't know. I've killed people. I've persecuted Christians. Nobody here trusts me. Nobody believes in me. I don't know if I could do it. Well, Barnabas believed in him, and he went and helped Paul and taught Paul and made sure Paul was ready, and God used him. I'll tell you, God can use you. You say, well, I'm divorced. I've got this in my background. I've got that. I'm talking about God can use you. You say, well, I've got drugs in my past. I've got alcohol in my past. I've got problems. I've got prison record. I've got jail record. I've got this. I've got that. Set all of that aside. There is something you can do for God. Of those five, God left three in place and took two. What does that tell me? He kept the majority back for another purpose and selected two for another purpose. There's something you can do for God.
Amen.
Do I have a 10-year-old boy here? 10. Would you come help me? Hurry, I'm on the clock, I'm union, I get a break in a few minutes. What is your name? I forgot.
Aria.
Zaria. Clark, spell it.
A-Z-A-R-Y-A.
Oh, I got it now, Zaria. Sit down. Dad, Mom, I'm not wearing a mask, but I'll put one on if you want me to while I'm talking to him. Is it okay without a mask? You okay? Good, I see thumbs up. I don't know even who that was, but they put their thumb up, so they must be claiming you. You're 10 years old. I was 10 years old once. It was a long time ago. I was at a missions conference, just like you. It was a Thursday or a Friday night, I don't remember which. And the preacher was talking. There was this lady. She was a missionary. Preacher preached, but there was this missionary lady. She spoke. I was 10. That's how old you are. 10. Can you imagine me 10? I wasn't your size. I was a little bigger. And she talked about Kenya, Africa. And I listened to her. I was 10. And would you not know that as a 10-year-old kid, God touched my heart?
Amen.
And she said, we need people to come to Africa to serve God. Well, I didn't know really that anything about Africa per se. And she said, we need people who are willing to do whatever God asks
Amen.
Them to do. And I thought, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do.
Amen.
And here I am, 46 years later, sitting with you as a 10-year-old boy at an altar at a Baptist church having a missions conference.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it worked out.
Lord.
See, well, you're a 10-year-old kid. You had no idea what God was going to do. I know that's the best part. Because if I knew, I might not have done anything. But I had to get myself to the place. Stand up, if you would, Azaria. God can use me.
Amen.
He can use 10-year-old me.
Praise the Lord.
And 56-year-old me. I don't, is your Sunday school teacher here? Do you know, have you seen her or him? Who's Azaria's Sunday school teacher? Raise your hand. Oh, here, yeah. You see him. But I really want you to see me. Because he could be me. You're going to have to eat a whole lot more. But when you teach, don't see the 10-year-old. Look with God's eyes and see what he'll become.
Amen.
And convince every kid in your class God can use them.
Amen.
Thank you, Azaria. You are awesome.
Amen.
God can use you. Say, Brother O'Malley, I got a past. Hello, Paul had one too.
Amen.
Say, well, I got issues. I know. More issues than a magazine rack. More hang-ups than a clothes closet. I've heard them all. But when you look at those five men, some people would have said, they'll never amount to anything. Remember rule one. In an Antioch-type church, you have a people who believe God can use me. Number two. And the second thing I want you to learn tonight is God, number two, God has a purpose for me.
Amen.
God has a purpose for me.
Amen.
Notice what it says in verse number two. Your kids have been memorizing these verses over the last few nights. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
Amen.
Those three words, for the work.
Amen.
God has a purpose He wants to accomplish for me.
Amen.
God had a work to take for them to do in Eastern Europe. God had a work for them to do in what we call Europe now. God had a work for them to do in Rome and in Spain. God had a work for them to do in the Middle East. And they will make these trips, traveling the area, delivering the gospel to everyone. God had a purpose for them. It wasn't just that God could use them. God did use them and gave them a purpose and said, I will use you somewhere. The Kennys, their purpose that they have is Ghana. The Pates, their purpose is Ivory Coast. Brother Sheetal, his purpose is, how do you say that? Hamburger? Hamburg? Sorry. Food, whatever. Hamburg or Hamburg?
Hamburg.
Hamburg. We're not German, we're American. Hamburg. Okay, fine, Pennsylvania. That's God's purpose for you.
Amen.
So, well, I could never go to Ghana. I could never go to Hamburg. I could go to McDonald's, though. No, I could go to Hamburg. I couldn't go to Ivory Coast. Good. Don't. Go somewhere else. You say, could I go somewhere that's not listed here? Yes. 7 billion people. Even if you miss the right spot, you'll eventually get there, and anybody you lead to Christ along the way is allowed in heaven, even if you missed it on the first shot. Go somewhere.
Amen.
Do something. When I think about God has a purpose for me, that means He has a work for you to do in this community,
Amen.
In this church building,
Amen.
In this ministry.
In
your neighborhood, God has, well, Brother O'Malley, if we have someone lost in our neighborhood, I call the pastor. I have his cell phone number, and I call him, and I tell him, there's a lost guy on our street who lives next to me. He needs Jesus, and that's who I take care of all of my soul winning. I call pastor. Some of you laughing, and some of you think, well, yeah, duh, what else are you going to do? He's the pastor. Number one, God can use you.
Amen.
Number two, God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
There's a work whereunto I called them. Pastor, I wonder how many people really are doing God's purpose for them. So now you're just putting the pressure on. No, what you feel in your heart is on you. I'm just speaking words.
Amen. That's great.
But if you feel guilty,
oh, that rubs my fur the wrong way.
Well, turn your cat around. Be fine. I tell you tonight, when you consider that God can use you, then you have to agree. God has a purpose. God had a specific purpose for them. You say, well, I got issues. I got problems. You got God. We'll figure it out. No, not everybody will be qualified to pastor, but that doesn't mean you can't pass out a tract. That doesn't mean you can't present the gospel. That doesn't mean you can't be a faithful witness. That doesn't mean you can't pick up kids for church. It doesn't mean that you can't carry on a work for God.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you can't find someone who's down and out and reach them where they are. Doesn't mean you can't reach a drunkard. It doesn't mean you can't reach a drug addict. God has a purpose for you. God has something you're supposed to be doing. You say, you know, it's a lot easier when you told us it's just about the money. Now you're getting up in my business, but that's okay. God can use you.
Amen.
I was 10. Did I see the end? No. I mean, I'm not saying this is the end. There's no way to fix that. I'm going on. I didn't see now. I just saw then. But how inspiring as his Sunday school teachers, to see a 10-year-old sit here and realize in the lifespan of Jeremy Kenney's life, we went from a 10-year-old to a 56-year-old. A lot of stuff has happened in my life. And I've learned God's been good to me.
Amen.
I may not have done everything right, but I wanted to. Don't ignore your 10-year-olds. And don't ignore your 56-year-olds.
Amen.
The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Number one, tell yourself. I was going to say teach your kids. Tell yourself. God can use you.
Amen.
Number two, God has a purpose for you. You better listen fast. You are absolutely squandered all your time in listening. Number three. Notice how the verse says, the last five words, whereunto I have called them. Number one, God can use me. Number two, God has a purpose for me. Number three, God can send me.
Amen.
Where can God send me? Oh, now you're not going to get me involved in where, because it can be anywhere. He'll know where. He'll know what you're suited for and for whom you're suited.
Amen.
And He'll send you there. You say, well, that could be scary. That's the best part. That He'll stretch you and teach you to trust Him and teach you He can supply your need. He said, I have a place I've called them. God can use you anywhere. God has a purpose for you, and God can send you anywhere.
Amen.
It just comes down to, are you available? Are you willing? And are you where you're supposed to be?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Did you ever get in trouble as a kid? Now, I had five brothers and sisters, and they were all mischief makers. I, believe it or not, was the innocent child. Perfect, upright, upstanding, lying. There was nothing worse than getting caught where you weren't supposed to be. It's like, there's no way. You can't transport yourself somewhere else. You are there and you're busted. You say, where are you going? Well, you could still be in church and not be in the right place. Say, what? He's a preacher and he just said I could be in church and not be in the right place? Yes. If you're supposed to be in Ghana and you're here and you're hiding from God and God said, Nineveh, and you said, Tarshish, send me somewhere else. God said, Ivory Coast, and you said, Dover. Has an O and a V and an R in it. Must be close. Are you where God wants you to be? Pastor, it's happened several times in my ministry, but I'm thinking about one. Shaking hands at the backpack when we used to shake hands. And the lady said, I was supposed to go to the mission field when I was and called the age. And she said, I met a boy and we married. We had a family and I have grandkids. But I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I think our churches are filled with people who know they're not where they're supposed to be. If you're supposed to be on a mission field, serving God, what are you doing here? For some of you, that point scares you completely. You're still stuck back at point one. God can use me. And you think, no way, no way God can use me. Hey, on my best day, I just have to keep in mind, God got a donkey to speak once.
Amen.
On my best day, He could still hire this out. To a mule.
Amen.
God can use you. What if we had every single person in this church at the altar tonight, appropriately socially distanced, however we do that, and said, God, if you can use me, I'm willing to be used.
Amen.
No, I am not doing that because God might snooker me and say yes. And then you'd be in the right place, wouldn't you? What if we had a whole church come forward tonight and say, God, send me anywhere you want me to go. Those kids need to hear this. Those kids' mama needs to hear this. Those kids' daddy needs to hear this. God has a purpose for you. Are you doing what He wants you to do? Are you where He wants you to be? You say, well, what about the money? When you know God's purpose for you, and you are willing for God to use you anyway, the money just comes with that.
Amen.
What if the only thing God wants to use in your life is your money?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. God can use you.
Amen.
What if God's purpose for you is to be right here, serving God, supporting this work, doing a great task for God? Then be right here and do that.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, make sure you're doing His purpose and not yours.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? God can use me. God has a purpose for me. God can send me.